Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast.
Hello there, this is Jennifer Sparrow, and I'm joined for a conversation today with Assistant Vice President of Distributed Learning for the University of Central Florida, Thomas Cavanaugh. Thanks for joining us today, Tom.
Thank you, Jennifer.
So what are the three most important things you've discovered about effective teaching and learning during the time you've been involved with UCF's distance learning program that, I might add, has been extremely successful?
I would start with an emphasis on instructional design. I have a fairly large staff of instructional designers, over a dozen folks who just do it full-time supporting faculty. And I felt that sort of support was appropriate, especially given the size of UCF. And then secondly, the emphasis on assessment. So we've got a couple of full-time people. Many people know Chuck Jubin and Patsy Moskal, and they and a couple of graduate student researchers do nothing but assess the effectiveness of technology-based teaching and learning. And those two things combined kind of showed me that UCF gets it, that from kind of the beginning with the instructional design process to the end with the evaluation and assessment and determining effectiveness, and then letting those two things kind of inform each other was really important. And I think perhaps one other observation is that we take the idea of online learning as core to the institutional mission. So it's not an extension.
Great.
And that's very intentional, because the idea is that it's to support all students, and we're not just doing outreach to students who can't come to campus, although that's certainly part of it, but it's much broader than that. It's to support students on campus who need the flexibility to take, you know, different kinds of modalities.
Sure. So I know you just wrote a chapter in Diana's Game Changer book, and you talked about that you were finding that a lot of your students on campus were taking computer-based courses. Do you have a sense of why that is? Is it mainly for the flexibility, or are there other reasons for that?
Yeah, we like to say, and I'll quote Chuck, that students take online courses for three reasons: convenience, convenience, and convenience. and I think that's true. What we're finding is that increasingly that traditional students need more and more non-traditional flexibility. Counterintuitively, we've heard anecdotally from students that taking online courses allows them to more fully engage with the kind of social face-to-face aspects of the university community. So if you're playing intercollegiate athletics, or you want to be in a sorority, or you're in student government or something, taking an online course gives you more flexibility to do those sorts of on-campus activities.
Is there something that has resonated with the assessment results that you've gotten that has caused you to implement a change or do things differently because of things that students have reported?
Our results have been very consistent over time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we know that they prefer blended courses. They by a wide margin, rank them excellent more than any other modality. And we also know that they perform better in blended courses over any other modality. But in the past, if I could go back,
sure,
to the concept of distributed versus distance learning, the idea that that when we started doing online learning, it was to reach these students who couldn't come to campus, mm-hmm, was the intention. But based upon the data, to kind of circle back to your actual question, we realized that 75% of the students who were taking these distance courses were in the dorms and in the apartments across the streets. Mm-hmm. And then that gave rise to our blended initiative. Mm-hmm. So it was the data that informed blended learning.
Great.
At UCF. It probably wouldn't have existed otherwise.
Terrific. I heard a rumor that you guys have a MOOC that you're getting ready to start. Have you started? Could you talk to us about
that
a little bit?
Yeah. Well, we did one last year as part of our Next Generation Learning Challenge grant. And we were working with 20 partners through the American Association of State Colleges and Universities. And they're distributed all around the country. And one of the strategies that we used to help them understand how to do blended learning and kind of give them support and instruction was to do this MOOC. It was a training, faculty development MOOC. And it was on how to build and deliver effective blended courses. 5 weeks long, it was facilitated by Kelvin Thompson at UCF. And we had about 200 students, mm-hmm, sign up. So it was really popular. Of those 200 participants, more than half weren't even part of our grant, just right. heard about it through other channels. Right. And it turned out to be the surprise of the grant. More people commented on that. I got more feedback about that particular program than anything else. So the grant's over, mm-hmm. and we've concluded and delivered our final report. But we decided we wanted to do that again because it was so successful, for our own learning as well as sort of for the community. And we just concluded it, and it's 5 weeks. And then this time we had about 1,250 participants, which was a pretty good increase over last year. The good news is, though, even if you are listening to this now sometime after it's concluded, the materials are still available okay. for everybody out there. So if they went to blendedlearningtoolkit.org, that is the kind of major resource that we built for the project. But under the faculty development tab, you can get access to something called the Blend Kit. Mm-hmm. And Blend Kit is this faculty development course, this MOOC. And all the materials are archived out there.
Great. What were the key takeaways for faculty that were participating in that large course?
Some of the things people really liked about it was that, yes, it was sort of a MOOC. It was 1,250 students. It wasn't 120,000. But it was interactive. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just show up and see videos, but there was community. And then there were encouraged blogging and encouraged interaction between the faculty, who would be Kelvin and Linda, and the participants. So it was a real course. It wasn't just, here's some content.
Right.
And people seem to really appreciate that based on the feedback that we got.
Excellent. In what ways has mobile technology leveraged and supported the development and evolution of distance learning, or maybe the reverse of that? What challenges has mobile technology presented to you in your role?
Well, I think mobile technologies at UCF, we're probably not as far down the pike as many other institutions. But, we're doing some of the things that many others are doing by using vendor solutions sort of for campus things. You can see the bus schedule, and you can have a augmented reality campus tour around campus right. and stuff. So those are some of the things we're doing. But from a teaching learning perspective, we've been using the both of these LMS solutions so that mm-hmm. students can access the teaching and learning tools within the learning management system from a mobile device.
What are the key kinds of support that you provide for your faculty as they move from a face-to-face classroom to a blended or online classroom?
Yeah, we do a lot of faculty development at UCF in my unit, and it's really important to us. I think it's part of our secret sauce in many ways. We want to set faculty up for success, so it's not some sort of arbitrary administrative requirement. It's we want you to be successful and to have a good experience, and your students have a good experience, and this is one way to sort of ensure that. We compensate faculty for doing it. We mm-hmm. respect that their time is valuable. And there's also accreditation reasons for it because mm-hmm. of, SACS, which is our regional accrediting body, has some language about having to prepare faculty to teach online. So when they go through this faculty development program, it's comprehensive. Mm-hmm. We actually put faculty in the position of being an online student, at least for our flagship course. We've got several offerings, but for the big one. And then when they're done with that course, they're sort of in the club, and they get their own assigned instructional designer for life, as long as they're at UCF. And these instructional designers are divided up by discipline as much as possible so that they kind of understand what nursing needs or what English needs. And they have access to all of the resources at the Center for Distributed Learning, which is my unit, for as long as they need to develop things for online courses. So they get free video production, they get free graphics, they get whatever, and it's all funded out of our budget, not theirs.
Okay, terrific. Do faculty provide you with feedback on that process? Like this was the point that I realized I needed to do things differently from when I taught in the classroom to when I'm teaching with these new mediated technologies?
Yeah, we hear about it all the time. We hear the good stories, and we also hear the things like that they don't like. And in fact, in our faculty development course, the only thing that was unanimously positive from as far as feedback from faculty, when we went out and surveyed them, what did you like about the program, what did you not like, what did you actually use a year later, what did you not use a year later, and we used all of that information to try and redesign the course. The only thing where there was unanimous agreement, positive agreement, was this thing called Web Vets. And Web Vets is where we bring back faculty who have been teaching online mm-hmm. for a while to talk to the faculty who are in the training and share their sort of war stories and experiences. And everybody loves that. They want to hear from their peers. They wanted more web vets. They wanted to hear from people who teach in the same discipline. They wanted to hear from people who are teaching large class sizes. And so what we've tried to do is expand that within our redesigned curriculum, not only to bring people in more, but to record them and have them in the online portion, because it's actually taught in a blended format. And we also have engaged with an instructional faculty member as a Center for Distributed Learning fellow who co-facilitates the course with us now. So we kind of have a web vet on retainer while we're teaching the course.
So what do you think are the biggest challenges that universities face in providing distributed and distance learning to students?
We have a saying at UCF, again, I'll quote my boss, online, not inline. Mm-hmm. And every semester start, he'll actually go downstairs in the administration building and count the people in line at the registrar's office. Mm-hmm. And what we've found is that there's usually three or four people in line, and they're just waiting to get served, and it's not bad. And there was a time not that long ago where there would be a line out the door, snaked around the reflecting pond, down around the library, waiting to register for classes or apply for financial aid or whatever it is they needed to do. So when you look at really being able to serve students at a distance, there are several legs that that you have to make sure you address in this stool. One, obviously, is online learning, mm-hmm. the courses, the learning management system. One would be library services. One would be business services. So you have to be able to register for your classes and pay for them and pay for parking fees or whatever else online. And then the idea of advising and mm-hmm. student support services, that probably should be in there as well. And we've been very intentional about building out all of those legs for students as much as we possibly can. And what's happened is that there's been a benefit to the students who never take an online class because they can register for classes online now.
Right.
They can access library materials online, even if they're not taking online courses. And it's been a huge benefit and allowed us to scale because our growth has been ridiculous in the past few years and keep up with that kind of growth.
Thank you so much for your time today, Tom. Is there anything that you'd like to add about this conversation that's relevant, timely, things that you've heard at the conference that we should take away?
I've appreciated the opportunity. I will say that I think the idea of MOOCs is something that we're probably all going to have to watch and try and figure out, mm-hmm. you know, where we all fit in this. Mm-hmm. We've recently joined the Canvas Network, which is a network of open courses, and we're not sure where it's going to go for us. But if there's one thing I would maybe add is that I think that the idea of that that Clay Shirky said during the EDUCAUSE 12 keynote is that the real revolution in education isn't so much bandwidth or online learning, but openness. Mm-hmm. So the open in MOOC, and I think that was an interesting observation. I think he might be right. So